Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey everybody, it's United Foods of America, and we're in Mississippi with Joel.
Hey.
Hey!
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, well, I'll never get tired of the
double intros.
Intro and intros. You know what? Let's just keep up with the pattern that we're starting to develop. Let's make a third intro. Culinary Convo, Mississippi!
Actually, it's quadruple I, quadruple S, double P's. Mississippi.
Can't get enough I's, S's, or P's. But no more M's, only one M.
Mississippi.
It's a good song.
That was. I killed it there, actually. Yeah. No, believe it or not, I'm excited for Mississippi. I'm excited. Mississippi, I think, so, okay, everybody makes the joke. They're like 49th or 50th in everything, right?
Yeah.
But
Jackson does not have clean drinking water.
But yeah, they don't, are and that's flooded. Like sad. Yeah, it's like awfully sad.
Yeah,
but
it's really problematic, and it's also a problem they saw coming a mile away and didn't do anything about
right.
because taxes.
Right. Yeah, yeah. They should have fixed it a long time ago. You guys should have. But don't do anything to your food. I'm telling you, don't
do
it.
Food is great.
Yeah, there's a reason why they have like an obesity problem, which is because the corporations have done a lot of things. But still. Yeah. I gotta say, their food, yeah, there's a lot of great food in Mississippi. What we'll do, we'll start off, you're going off of Mississippi state facts. Mississippi was the 20th state in the U.S. So even number there, right? Just right on 20. Yeah. One of the original 20.
The big 2-0.
Big dosey.
1 year away from drinking.
Yep. Yeah, they're not drinking age. So, yeah. But, yeah, they have a 26-mile section of the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and it is the longest man-made beach in the world. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
I didn't know that either, man. I was like, what? Like, man-made beach. Like, oh, that's crazy. Yeah. And then one of the best drinks ever made was made there, Barks Root Beer. Yeah, at Biloxi Artisan Bottling Works.
This is what I like to call an opinion, folks.
I say Barks is an amazing drink because it goes in a root beer float.
It does. Yeah, it does.
You know, like, and I'll admit, Barks is more of a, like, spicy sarsaparilla, unlike spice. Mug. Mug is like a sweet sarsaparilla.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But no, Barks. How crazy. Bought up by Coca-Cola eventually. Yeah. I tell
you. Good on
you. Good on you, Barks.
One heck of a cultural icon to one of the biggest, most underfunded, bloated companies in the world.
Yay!
Woo! Capitalism! Barks and United Foods!
I'm going to rip my face off.
Once again, Barks, if you want to stop this slander, please.
No. Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola's got the big bucks.
Coke.
They can spare a few million.
Right. You can spare a few million.
All it would
sponsor
take
us.
For me to completely change my tune on your entire country.
Totally.
Or company and its history.
I'll fly to Mississippi and tour a Barks. Why not? Yeah. You know? But yeah, Mississippi, they have more states. Sorry, I just said more states.
You
what am
did,
I stupid?
I, like, I wonder if he's gonna
bum. I'm
keep this fumble on the ground or pick it
no,
up.
No, I'm gonna pick it up. Mississippi or has more
counties?
churches. Has more churches per capita than any other state in the U.S.
That is very unfortunate for Mississippi, but we got to put them somewhere, don't we?
Yeah.
Might as well be there.
Might as well be there. It does say in this little quote in the picture, they're like, well, how many churches? And I tried to do a Google Maps of like, can I just type in churches, Mississippi,
and
it'll
like,
put
see it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because I wanted to see it. They didn't really have anything like that. Maybe somebody who's like a Google Maps genius can figure it out, but like
I think it might be like a thing that Google has going on with the churches because cults generally don't want to be like geolocated,
right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, usually. But yeah, no, but Mississippi, they think that they said definitely over 1,000, but it could be 2,000.
Oh my God.
That's like
so many.
There's not even that many friggin' towns in Mississippi. Yeah. Like how? Like, yeah, yeah.
Mississippi, I get it. I do get it, but like, right. Girl, you need to chill. You.
That's you all you say. Chill. You meet the governor, and you're like, "Hey, your drinking water is awful." But also, girl, you gotta chill.
You gotta chill on the churches.
Yeah. What's that? What was it? Wasn't there like a viral video of like, "Daddy, chill."
Yeah. What the heck is even that?
What the heck is even that? Yeah, that's what Mississippi would say to us.
That is exactly what they would say to me. You all see my colored hair in my picture. They would be like, "Get out of here before we start shooting."
Yeah.
And I'd be like, "I'm just saying, 2,000 is a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of churches.
That's so many doors.
Like, maybe do one per county."
Yeah.
I think it would be fine.
Come together as a community, right?
WebEx. Right. Have you ever heard of it?
WebEx. Oh, man. Anyway, past the churches. Pine-Sol. Yeah, that's the creator of Pine-Sol.
Girl, yeah. It only takes a catful, y'all.
That's all it takes. Yep. Pine-Sol was developed in 1929 by chemist Harry A. Cole, who lived in a pine forest near Jackson, Mississippi.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love the smell of Pine-Sol.
Yeah. Yeah. It's utilitarian. You can use it for so many different things other than cleaning a floor. For
almost everything.
Yeah. It's insane. But yeah, no, and they've made a synthetic Pine-Sol, which is good. That way you don't have to keep knocking down pine trees.
Now it takes two catfuls, but that's the sacrifice we're willing to make.
Willing to make. For the world. For the planet.
For the world.
Yeah.
Fill two catfuls full of cleaning agent.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my favorite part here, famous people. It can be hit or miss, you know, what have you. Mississippi's got a good set. I'd say 2 out of 3 ain't bad. The first one here, Tennessee Williams
is from Mississippi. Yeah.
Dude, I love Tennessee Williams.
You do. You
really do. Tennessee Williams.
Hey, this guy won't shut up about him.
I won't. I was so like, okay, great. He writes plays, like, whatever. And then I start watching the movies based on these plays. And then you start seeing the plays. And you're like, Tennessee Williams was a freaking genius. Like, pretty this awesome, guy actually. Was great. And he liked bulldogs. Like, come
He's
on.
It's like your cultural hero, your icon.
Yeah. 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 Cat on a hot tin roof, Tennessee Williams. Like, oh, man. But the next one here, the king of the blues, B.B. King. Oh, no, my image of B.B. King went away.
I was going to say, that's a pie.
Yeah, that's a pie. Yeah, that's a pie. Well, anyway, I couldn't get the next two anyways. B.B. King from Mississippi. Totally, I get it. Home of the Blues is Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Also, Oprah.
Oh, yeah, she's from Mississippi, isn't she?
She's from Mississippi. Yeah, yeah. But yeah. Yeah, and I said 2 out of 3.
Out of the Mississippi, but you can never take the Mississippi out of the Oprah.
Oh no!
I think by this time she's moved past gender. She's just like, I am the Oprah.
I am the Oprah. Yeah, I am. I am the Oprah.
I am the Oprah, the voice of God.
Yeah, I may get a lot of a sting for this. This may come back to haunt me. I'm not sure, but I gotta say it. Oprah. To me, is a very polarizing figure.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, yeah. No. But that's why we talk about Mississippi's food, which the first one here, state of dinner, Mississippi mud pie.
Yum, yum, yum.
Ugh, the it's one good thing. Stuff. Yeah. The one thing that makes it a Mississippi mud pie is that it is a chocolate-based dessert with several layers. The Mississippi mud pie has 5 decadent layers, an Oreo cookie crust, fudgy chocolate cake, chocolate mousse, whipped cream, and then thick and gooey hot fudge to top it off.
Would you count hot fudge as a layer, though?
I would count
in my book. Like, that's going to have to be a lot of hot fudge for me to count it as a layer. I mean, which I'm down for.
I mean,
like,
if you look at the picture,
the more the better.
Yeah. Picture one, they get quite a bit more fudge on
the picture, that's a drizzle, babe. That's a drizzle.
That is. I want the whole top covered.
I want a deluge of hot fudge.
I want people to think that the table is flooding with fudge.
I want people to think that it's like a marble of hot fudge on the top. Just like a clear sheen. You could skate on that thing.
Yeah.
Of hot fudge. That's a layer.
Yeah.
But I won't disagree if they want to call it that. But, I mean, it's going to be amazing anyways. So.
Right. Right. I mean, but interested in how Mississippi mud pie came to be. Basically, there's a lot of different things that came about. The main thing is that somebody just grabbed a bunch of chocolate slipped stuff, threw mud. It together. Yeah. And they were like, mud, this is good. And not like the drink mud, because that stuff is terrible. Unless they want to sponsor us.
Yeah.
At culinaryconvopod@gmail.com. Once again, everybody share, like the episodes, rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Do what you got to do. That way you can get more culinary convo things. I want to start sending out an email chain list of these episodes. I go over all these foods. I got to give you guys recipes connected to Pinterest.
Do you know how much episodes would come out if we didn't have full-time jobs to do?
Oh, my gosh.
And we just did this.
Oh, my gosh. Every day.
You'd meet a whole new Joel. I'd be, like, enthusiastic on here.
Right. Right.
I'd be jumping, being like, mud is the best!
Mud is my favorite thing to eat all the time! So delicious! Have you ever had it through your nose? Make sure to use a plastic straw, not a metal one. The metal ones are cold!
Like, too cold for my nasal cavities.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. But yeah. But no, I mean, that's, Mississippi mud pie. But no, we would do 5 episodes a week, easily.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support. So anyways,
even more.
Yeah. But Taste Atlas, on talking about Mississippi mud pie, they talk about it's a flavorful American dessert consisting of a cookie crust filled with numerous variable ingredients such as biscuits, ice cream, pudding, whipped cream, liqueur, and marshmallows. See a marshmallow fluff top?
Yum. With the hot fudge. Keep that in.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, Mississippi mud cake.
Some of the marshmallow if you put it on hot enough. That would be good.
Be like s'mores.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
In a weird way, it would.
Yeah.
This picture looks like it's got caramel in it, too.
Yeah, it's something. Right? Yeah, something. I don't know what. It's probably a mixture of the whipped cream and the fudge. But, you know. Maybe. They say that the pie was invented in the 70s. But it could have been invented much longer ago in the Vicksburg Natchez region near Jackson, which they can't create anything anymore. They don't even have water. So
yeah. I mean, they do have water. It's just not.
But it's bad. Yeah, it's just bad. Bad water. But next one here, a slug burger. Yeah.
Never heard of this.
So the only reason I've heard of it is I watch on YouTube. I watch Hot Ones, which is part of First We Feast, and they have a thing called The Burger Show with Calvin. And he has a hamburger dude that then got his own show, which is like the Burger Professor or something or other, Chronicles, whatever. But yeah, a slug burger, it's a very old-timey burger. They call it a Weeks burger as well. I think that was the name of an establishment at one point. A slug burger is an American burger variety with origins in the Corinth, Mississippi area. Despite its unusual name, it is not made with slugs, but it gets its name with the Depression era practice of combining ground meat with fillers, such as potato flour or soybeans. A slug burger was first named Weeks burger after its inventor, John Weeks. Yeah. The burgers originally cost a nickel, and nickels were called slugs at the time. So the name Slug Burger has remained unchanged until today. Meat patties are typically fried in canola oil, served topped with pickles, mustard, and onions on a small hamburger bun. Today, Slug Burgers are still popular in the Mississippi area, and there is an annual Slug Burger Festival held in Corinth since 1988. But yeah, yeah, filler.
Cool.
Meat got expensive. They added filler to it. They started throwing them in. I can't knock
Meat's
it.
Expensive now. Meat's yeah. so expensive now. I wonder if they've got any meat left in there.
Exactly. Just, yeah.
Just filler.
It's just a soy patty. Yeah. But the next one here, comeback sauce. Yeah. You'll be coming back to the table. Sauce. Comeback sauce is a classic dipping sauce hailing from the American South. It originated in a Greek restaurant in Jackson, Mississippi. The sauce is made with a combination of mayonnaise and chili sauce, with the addition of any or all of the following: ketchup, lemon juice, smoked paprika, hot sauce, garlic, salt, Worcestershire sauce, mustard, black pepper, and onion powder. You know.
Sounds good.
Yeah. A few different things. The ingredients are simply mixed and chilled before serving. Comeback sauce is traditionally used as a dip for fish sticks or chicken fingers. It can also be added to burgers or po' boys and similar sandwiches. So, yeah, get your comeback sauce.
I was going to try and make a joke with that, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, we could have stooped that low and yeah. done that, but
it's
we
about
care.
Having that sauce on my back, but I just...
But we're classier than that, and that's why if you want to sponsor us,
we're classier. But the pod's definitely classier.
The pod is classy, yeah. And that is why if you want to sponsor us, go to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com. Send it
can't
our way.
Plug it any less.
Yeah, can't. I can't. It's too good of a thing.
Plugging.
I gotta keep plugging.
It is too good.
It's too good. It's too good of a thing. Got to do it. But the next one here. You mentioned caramel earlier. Caramel cake.
I've never had caramel cake. That sounds so good. What is that? Is that? It's like it looks like wafer on the sides
yeah,
or something.
I know. Yeah. It's pretty brilliant. Caramel cake is a traditional American layer cake with Southern roots. Layers of soft and buttery yellow sponge cake are stacked on each other with sweet caramel icing or frosting slathered in between them all over the cake. What makes this Southern classic special is not the cake itself, but the caramel frosting, which is quite tricky to prepare and requires practice. If made properly, the caramel frosting will set nicely on the cake, and it will harden at room temperature. The cake batter, which is traditionally baked in round cake pans, is usually a mix of butter, flour, eggs, milk, sugar, salt, baking powder, and vanilla extract. This rich cake has been an all-time favorite dessert for many Southerners, especially those living in the Mississippi Delta region, who commonly prepare it for various special occasions and holidays such as Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yeah.
I would have that every weekend.
Yeah.
I have that every day. That I would get diabetes for that.
I would take insulin the rest of my life so I can eat this caramel cake.
I volunteer as tribute. Like, give me that
tribute?
Cake.
Oh,
I would kill a bunch of kids that were my age for that.
Whoa!
There's a Hunger Games reference, Devin.
Sorry.
I volunteer as tribute.
My bad. Man. That's, yeah, if you just mention Hunger Games, it's automatically socially appropriate.
Yeah. Before then, you're like, what?
And yeah, just, whoa.
No, like the no, book. Like
the book, Hunger Games.
And the movies. Oh. Katniss Everdeen, I have a side pony already. I'm ready for it. I've been ready since the movies came out.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
That just looks so good.
It does. Like you said, I think what makes it interesting is that the caramel, like, hardens.
It's hardened, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like their soft cake with the hardened... Oh, man. Oh.
I bet that'd be really good, like, coming out of the fridge, too, where it's all cold.
Yeah.
Yes. Yum.
And imagine putting something hot over the top of it, like hot fudge.
Yeah. Oh, man, that'd be good. We need to see if we can find one when I come up so we can enjoy it.
Yeah. We got to ask some places. Put magic shell on it.
Do you have caramel cake? Oh, magic shell would be bomb.
Yeah.
Hard chocolate.
Yeah.
And then, oh, goodness. Good mass.
I would make one for the show, but we need more sponsors at culinarycombopod at gmail.com.
Come on, people. Help out. I'm getting the shakes over here.
Getting the shakes. And then, of course, we move on to Food Network going over their great Mississippi places that they like to go to. I got to admit, they have a pretty good list here. Good job, Food Network. Way to go. This one right here, there's plenty of barbecue in Mississippi, and most borrows from the styles that traveled downriver from Memphis and St. Louis. But Abe's Barbecue in Clarksdale has a style all its own. The pork butt isn't pulled or shredded after smoking. It's chilled overnight to congeal the fat, then sliced paper thin and reheated on a griddle. The slices are chopped into like slivers and doused with a tangy house barbecue sauce, then tucked into a grilled bun with a peppery oil and vinegar dressed slaw, rather than the mayonnaise-laden kind that typically prevails in smokehouses. Lebanese immigrant Abraham Davis learned to barbecue and roll tamales from his new neighbors before opening a tiny restaurant in 1924. Abe's has remained a community favorite throughout its existence and a landmark stop for travelers on the Blues Highway. Yeah.
Yum.
It's like basically like instead of what do they call it? It's on a spit, a rotating spit.
Wish I could help you out.
I know, right? Like this is a food podcast.
Yeah.
Is it shakshuka? No. Is it?
No.
Anyway, so. It's in euros. Or, yeah, euros, right? But, yeah. Oh, my gosh. They're just doing that. They're just grabbing it and they're saying, yeah, okay. And they make the thin slices. Perfect. Perfect.
Delicious.
Won't get caught in your teeth. Mm-mm-mm. But anyways, next part, biscuits. Just straight biscuits, yo. Like, yeah. Yeah. Good flavored biscuits. Natchez is famous for its antebellum mansions and riverboats. It's also called the biscuit capital of the world. Regina Charbonneau, a seventh-generation native daughter, helped her hometown earn the official designation in 2008 and launch a biscuit festival with a cook-off, demos, and a crowning of a biscuit queen.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. Like, I want to go.
I want to become the biscuit queen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, a Paris-trained chef, Charbonneau prepares extra buttery, flaky biscuits that have become legend. She refined the homespun recipe with puff pastry skills and built a nightclub in San Francisco, Biscuits and Blues, around their reputation. Now she has one by the same name in Natchez. Guests at her bed and breakfast at the Twin Oaks Plantation House get to sample her biscuits, as do passengers aboard the cruise steamboat, the American Queen. Her time-flecked biscuit dough tops the pot pies on the menu at the historic King's Tavern. A time biscuit topped pot pie.
Sounds so good.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Food, like the Americana food comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. Which also serves a few cocktails made with rum from her husband's distillery. Her husband has a distillery! what? Her biscuit recipe is no secret. She shared the method in cookbooks and cooking classes and with national press, so people can do it. They can figure it out.
You can use her recipe to make some biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I got to move on from her. I'm going to be too stuck from the biscuit queen. It's going to be hanging out in my dreams.
Another one of your heroes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna wake up, and Kaylee's going to be jealous. She's going to be like, who have you been thinking of? I'm like, I had a dream that you were the biscuit queen. I'm like, what happened? I don't know how this happened. Oh, my gosh. I got to go to work. And then, yeah, soul food is the next one here. Soul food restaurants abound in Mississippi, and one of the best representation is in the Senator's Palace in Cleveland, Mississippi. Its sign reads, "Delicious food for the soul," and the offerings on the steam table buffet live up to the reputation. Farmers with muddy boots and lawyers in suits pile their plates with fried chicken, neck bones, candied sweet potatoes, turnip greens, macaroni and cheese, stewed okra and tomatoes, and a litany of vegetables and meats that changes daily depending on the season and availability. State Senator Willie Simmons opened the restaurant in 2003 and presides over the kitchen with the legislature's out of session. He personally fries the catfish and takes special pride in his pecan smoked chicken. The buttery corn muffins and hush puppies are mixed from scratch, like everything else on the menu. Yeah. That
soul food.
Soul food, man. Soul food. Soul food, honestly, to me, a lot of people are like, they try to put like a huge definition type of what have you. It's like you actually said earlier, I would classify it as like classic Americana, but specifically rooted in not only immigrant type of food, but African American.
Yeah.
Like food that is soul food. And it, a lot of people try to equate it to too many things. It's like, guys, it is veggies, it is fried things, it is grilled things, it is smoked things, it is like, it's basically the best of the South. That's what I've always thought in my head, is like, it is the best of the South. Like, they, like here in the picture, they have the corn on the cob. Sweet corn throughout the Midwest and the South is amazing on the cob. Like, I can't get enough of it. And it's, I'm in Oregon and I don't get that kind of stuff now. And I miss it. And it's like, that's the type of stuff that we're talking. Baked beans, anything dealing with grilled chicken where they do like a whole rotisserie chicken grilled.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Yeah. It's good stuff. It's what makes like America really great culinarily, I think, is everything that goes into that, whether it's from a good, you know, source or time or a bad one, either way, it's one of those things, like, you just have to appreciate it for what it is now. And it's it's crazy. It's really, really good. Plus they have Kool-Aid here. I noticed that. It's some type of,
they do. Like,
yeah, I got something there.
Just now noticing.
Man. Oh yeah. And they got that's the Louisiana hot sauce. I know. I recognize the bottle. But yeah. Yeah. The next one in Mississippi, the one that they are highly known for, and I've only had a couple times, and they are like amazing. Hot tamales. Yeah. Once a culinary oddity barely known outside the state, the Mississippi hot tamale has been getting lots of attention lately. Moister and often spicier than their Mexican ancestors, these savory, oily treats comprise cornmeal dough encasing ribbons of well-seasoned meat, which are then wrapped in corn husks or parchment tied with small cups of chili on the side, served with saltines. Most of the tamale makers today are descendants of African-American sharecroppers who likely got their first taste from Mexican laborers working beside them in the cotton fields more than a century ago, and then improvised the technique. Doe's Eat Place, the nationally celebrated steakhouse run by an Italian family in a proudly shabby former grocery store in Greenville, has been serving parchment-wrapped tamales as an appetizer for generations based on their own hand-me-down recipe. Each year, vendors from all over the region gather in Greenville for the annual Delta Hot Tamale Festival to compete for trophies and invite visitors to taste their creations. Yeah.
Yummy!
It's a good one. Yeah, that's another festival.
I'm not a huge fan of tamales, but I get why people are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said, another festival. After I visit my biscuit queen, or my cat biscuit, either one, I then go to the tamale festival. but yeah, the next one here, catfish and hush puppies. I don't even need to describe this right now, okay? Yeah. You're on the Mississippi River. You're going to have catfish. The hush puppies, basically, it's like fried cornbread. That's basically what it is. A little fried dollops
of cornbread. It's the best form of cornbread.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's one of the best.
I like cornbread by itself, but like hush puppies, are you kidding? That's cornbread turned up to an 11.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no. I mean, I think it's the UK. They see us eating catfish as really weird. But it's delicious, I can assure you. Yeah, super good. The next one here, charcuterie. That's right. Charcuterie. Really? Yeah, yeah. Butchering and sausage making comes natural to serious hunters who make up a significant segment of Mississippi's population. A few homegrown chefs trained in high-end kitchens elsewhere and returned home to serve sophisticated charcuterie inspired by local tradition. At Delta Meat Market in Cleveland, Cole Ellis sells meat cuts and sausages, including venison kielbasa and pastrami, along with imported cheeses and other makings for a superior charcuterie board. His efforts snagged the nomination for Best Chef in the South from the James Beard Foundation. Wow. Yeah. That's got to be some good meat. If you're getting a James Beard Award type of thing just from making it, that's wowza. That's all I can say. And charcuterie, I don't know. A lot of people have gone back and forth on it. It's gotten really popular at times. I'd say right now it's pretty popular. It makes you feel fancy.
It makes you feel fancy. It's kind of like part of that deconstruction movement with food.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, well, like, just take the preparedness and make it into its parts.
Put things that are pickled, put jams, cheese, nuts, and meats. And we'll be fine. That's all you need, Meredith, is a charcuterie board. And this party will be perfect. And it's just like...
It's like making a meal out of mono meals. So you've got like all of these individual things that are still individualized, put in their own little sections. And they're like, just shove that stuff on a piece of wood.
Put it on a piece of wood. Put it on a table. Let's go.
There you go. Done.
I will say any charcuterie board with brie, I'm sold. I'm like, I don't know like what it is about seeing
especially
that little round
if it's
disc.
Like heated brie,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Just
super heated melty brie
stuff into it and
with fruits.
That charcuterie
with apple.
Board will be gone within a couple of minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. There's something
about charcuterie is it incentivizes you to try everything that's on there.
Yeah, it does.
That's
I
like about it.
I think that's one of the main reasons why Kaylee, my wife, she figured out that she likes green olives.
Yeah.
She's like, I haven't had green olives like outside. I'm like, just eat this one. She's like, okay. And she tried it. She's like, I love green olives. It's like, yeah, I bet you do. Welcome to charcuterie. but the next one here in Mississippi, you know, we can't leave Mississippi without talking about fried chicken. Yum. Chicken, y'all. It could well be the Mississippi state bird. It's served in every environment and most of it is excellent. At the Four Corners Chevron service station in Oxford, Ole Miss students stand up to eat deep fried chicken on a stick after a night of drinking. In Vicksburg, the after church crowd sits down to dine at Walnut Hills, a 19th century antique furnished house where Lazy Susan's, a throwback to boarding house days, grown with platters of golden birds, country style vegetables, hot rolls, and bottomless pitchers of sweet tea. Most folks enjoy socializing on the rocking chair filled porch until their table is ready. It's like better than Cracker Barrel. Like, it's like fancy Cracker Barrel is what this place is.
I don't know if you've been to Cracker Barrel recently. It has fallen.
Oh, it has. Yeah. No,
it has. It's so much worse than it used to be.
I know.
Can go ahead and try and change my mind, but that's going to be a lot of money that you're going to have to give up.
Hey.
Last time I was there, I was not impressed.
Yeah, and you'd have to try to explain your name as well.
Yeah, the name's really problematic. Went with work, and that's why. It was like somebody chose to go there, and I was like, I'm freaking hungry. I guess they've got to have something that I like. And I really disliked my meal.
Yeah. Yeah. See, so they got a Cracker Barrel out here in Oregon. It's near the Portland area. Yeah. Well, it's like the first one in Oregon or whatever. And so it was like, we went, I mainly went so that I could get my goobers, in their store, as well as moon pies in their store. But we sat down, had meal there. It was all okay. The thing that I was looking forward to was a side of bacon. And if anybody remembers Cracker Barrel, they used to like have thick cut like meat slabs of yeah. bacon that you could get on the side. And I got your typical like breakfast bacon. Yeah. And I just looked at my wife and I said, I am so sorry. Like, this is not like you said, I thought in my head, they have fallen. Like, what is going on here? Like, what? Because I still remember when they came out, like, I think it was a buddy of mine that I drove out here with. He said, he goes, no, you got to get a side of bacon. And I thought the same thing that anybody else would think, which is like, why? Like, what is so special about their bacon? Like, what are you talking about? He's like, just get it. And so I got it. And then it's like when it came out and it was as thick, it was like a meat slabs of bacon.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Wow. I tried it. It was amazing. And I used to brag about it all the time. And now they don't do that.
It's not the same. They're cutting too many corners to save money.
I know. It's sad. It is sad. I like their store though, because they have a lot of like Midwest and Southern like candies and treats and stuff that I can't find elsewhere. So it's like
remind you of home.
Yeah, yeah. I walk in and I'm like, wood and leather.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know. But anyways, next one here, Black Bottom Pie. That's right. Black Bottom Pie, though often considered a classic Southern dessert, Black Bottom Pie has been also been attributed to chef in California in the 1940s. Whatever its origins, Mississippians have long associated it with Weedman's, a continental-style restaurant with a heavy Creole accent in downtown Meridian, Mississippi. Yeah. So, basically one chocolate and the other spiked with bourbon custard. It is crowned with whipped cream and chocolate shavings. The restaurant's menu and decor have evolved over the years, but the signature pie remains constant. So you can get a Mississippi Mud Pie, Black Bottom Pie. I'm a pie man, and so this state already has my heart. It really does. I love pies. Cream pies, fruit pie, any type of pie, American pies, every pie.
Marion I like pies. Marion Berry
Pie. Oh, Marion Berry Pie is the king.
it's the king.
Yeah, yeah. I used to think apple pie. I loved apple pies.
What a ludicrous man you used to be.
No. My grandpa's apple pie, man. It was a nostalgia thing, right? Mm. Family nostalgia. I was like apple pie.
You were
pie.
Blinded by your family's good.
I was. Because then it's like now I've had Marion Berry Pie and I've been spoiled for so many years now.
Marion Berry Pie's next level. We're getting it in a couple weeks.
I know.
A
couple weeks, everybody. Couple weeks. And then the next one here, a thing that basically like helped me enjoy pickles even more. Fried pickles. Love fried dill pickles. I can't get enough of them. Dipping it in ranch. And there are bad fried dill pickles. There are. If somebody uses Spears and they call that a dill pickle, like a fried dill pickle, they're an enemy of the state. Let's be honest. They're an enemy of the state. It has to be chips. It has to be dill pickle chips. And if they use bread and butter, pickle chips, they're on another level. They're, like, really good. But anyways, the Hollywood Cafe, a former mercantile near Tunica Resorts, has two claims to fame. Singer Mark Cohn was inspired to write his 1991 hit Walking in Memphis after watching a gospel singer perform. What the f-
Okay.
Never heard of that. Anyways, the Hollywood also claims to be home of the fried dill pickle. Hang your hat on that one, okay?
Yeah.
Don't. Hey, guys, have you heard the 1991 hit from Mark Cohn? Anyway, wait, I'm sorry. Mark, I know, yeah. Mark Cohn might be a really nice, great guy. I have no idea. He could be, you know, evil. I have no idea, but yeah, I would knows? Hang your hat on the dill pickles. That's what I would. Oh, man. Yeah, so, but apparently this is how it was created. It was created when a customer asked for food, but the kitchen was practically bare. The cook dipped dill pickle slices in catfish batter and tossed them into the deep fryer, and the tangy, crunchy snack was born. Now a menu fixture across the South, they're best served with ranch dressing for dipping. I love
thank
it.
Thank you.
You don't like those?
No.
No. I'm a baby. I know. I'm a baby. I know.
I'm going to have to buy Pampers and start,
exactly,
you know.
Yes. I am, baby. Start carrying me around.
Well, do you just That's not like I pickles in general? Is that,
yeah, no, I don't like pickles. Enjoy pickles.
Yeah, so that'll do it. Not enjoying the pickles. Yeah. At least it's not like I just don't like them fried. Oh, my gosh. Like, get out of here.
If anything, I probably like them better fried, but I feel like it would be a nasty surprise for me because I'd be like, ooh, Chip, pickle!
Why did you do this to me?
Why a pickle inside of that delicious breading?
That's why you dip it in ranch. It makes it more tolerable.
I don't want to have to make something I'm ingesting tolerable. Yeah. I just want it to be good already.
Yeah.
I wish that I liked pickles. I really do, because they're, not bad for you. They're a fermented food. Fermented foods are good for your gut biome. I just don't like it.
Right. Depending on the brine, it can be, zero calories. Like, you expend more calories eating pickles than that.
Exactly. Oh,
crazy. The next one in the same fried category, fried okra. And this is a different version of fried okra. I've seen fried okra, it's the coins. Oh, that was a bad hand signal. I punched my microphone. Anyways.
Second time. Cut it.
Yeah. Coins. Coins. They're in fried okra coins. But these here, they're in fried strips, which is pretty interesting. Mississippians consume huge amounts of these tough skin pods, usually when they've been sliced into rounds, dredged in cornmeal, and then fried into crunchy nuggets. Vishwesh Bhatt, executive chef at Snack Bar in Oxford, earned a James Beard Foundation Award nomination by fusing southern ingredients and techniques from his native India, including his okra chaat. Thin, lengthwise slices of flash-fried okra tossed with a melange of chopped tomatoes, peanuts, cilantro, chilies, lime juice, and Indian spices. On the entree side, he simmers okra in a skillet with corn to go with fried catfish and basil chutney. That sounds amazing. That sounds great.
Yeah, it does sound good.
Yeah. And then the next one here, Catfish Allison. Never heard of this until I started reading these. I think I've heard of the dish in a way. I think it was called something different, but still, I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know what it was based on. Frying is by far the most popular way Mississippians cook catfish, but it's by no means the only way. Since the 1980s, the Crown in Indianola has made a name for itself serving catfish any way but fried. The author of several cookbooks, including one devoted to catfish, proprietor Evelyn Rufton, invites visitors to sample her luxurious tasting and award-winning smoked catfish plate before sitting down to a home-cooked lunch. Catfish pate. Whoa. A smoked catfish pate. The menu is ever-changing, but always features Catfish Allison, a cheesy baked casserole, especially popular with women's groups who come to the Crown weekly to dine, play bridge, and catch up on the latest gossip. I like those ladies. I want to hang out with those ladies. Yeah.
I was just thinking in my head, what a waste of a life. That just,
let's go eat. And to play bridge and talk about our neighbors behind their backs.
Just, ugh. You know that's what's happening.
I know. It's so bad.
And you're like, I like those ladies. I want to do that.
I want to be catty. I want to be catty. I've never been allowed to be catty.
You can be catty. You know? It's okay. Yeah. People think you're gay, but that's okay.
Right. Right, because
that's what we do, honey. That's what we do it naturally. Every compliment I give is a backhanded slap.
I just imagine that all of those ladies, all of their kids have problems.
I'm imagining a lot of red hat energy, red.
Oh, right. Yeah, the red hats.
Let's go here and we'll just make this our spot for every week. Mm-hmm. And we come here and we talk about how our grandkids are failing.
How they won't take care of us.
They won't take care of us, even though I've been horrible to them since they were born, and I would never, ever take care of them in place for their parents while their parents had a day off.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine.
That's, I kind of imagine that too, actually. Never mind. I don't want to hang out with those ladies and eat Catfish Allison. Dang ladies.
What I want to do is I want to eat Catfish Allison in a booth over while I listen and talk to about gossip. Them. Yeah, and talk about crap them. About them. Just like, oh, God, can you believe these ladies don't have anything else better to do?
you know, that witchy lady, Susan. She is saying that her red hat, she got it at Gucci. Liar. Like, oh my gosh. It's from Walmart, sweetie. Oh my Lord.
That's where I got mine. That's where that's where we all got our red hats.
We all got them at Walmart, Susan. You know this. Jeez. Anyway, moving away from the Catfish Allison. Yeah, I can't be, I can't. I don't know why. I just, like I said, I have so many like weird daydreams of joining in. I don't know why. Like I just sit down and I'm like, hey, no. Hey, like Ned from like three houses down from you, you know he's having an affair.
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of stuff. They're talking about these horrible things that are happening to the people around them, like it's a sport.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like,
they got to one up each other.
I don't love that energy. That's a bad energy.
It is a bad energy.
It's so bad.
Like you're saying, and they just try to one up each other like they're home runs. You know what I mean? Like they're just
my grandson wrote the Necronomicon. You'd know it if you read it once in a while. My grandson has three stomachs like a cow.
He can digest 18 different forms of wheat. Yeah. It's like,
my grandson has four hearts, and he could give one of them to a charity of his choice if he wanted to.
But instead, it's being studied by the Oxford College.
It's like, exactly. It's that level of energy, and I don't have time for it.
You can't do it. Can't do it. Mm-mm. Yeah.
I'm too busy working.
Yeah, me too. Ugh. Which is why we need support for the show. CulinaryConvoPod at gmail.com.
We needed another one in there.
Remember, rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Also, support us at anchor.fm/CulinaryConvo1/support.
Hit that share button and ring that bell.
Oh, man. Slam that notification bell. Like, punch it with a glove on, without a glove on, if you want to. Might hurt your hand. But you'd punch it.
Yeah.
And then support us. We could then travel to Mississippi to have Katrina pieces. That's right. Ooh. That's what these donuts are called. Katrina pieces. The crudely shaped donuts. I know. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. It says here the crudely shaped donuts called Katrina pieces are at the Tato Nut Donut Shop in Ocean Springs. And they aren't the prettiest pastries in the case, but they do tell a story. The donut shop, a morning gathering spot in the coastal town since 1960, survived Hurricane Katrina, but supplies were scarce. They tossed dough scraps left over from cinnamon-infused Persian donuts into the fryer. Customers loved the freeform donuts and kept asking for them after business returned to normal. Katrina pieces are sold glazed or frosted with chocolate. Potato flour is key to all Tato Nut donuts' exceptional fluffiness. So they're super fluffy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's actually like, that is a cool story to have. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, we were out of everything. We just grabbed this thing, threw it in the fryer, and now we've got a whole new thing. And it's great. And then this is one that is going to sound familiar, Joel. You're going to be like, what the heck? Kibbeh.
Hey. Kibbeh.
Yeah, Lebanese immigrants settled in the Mississippi Delta in the late 1800s, first as peddlers and later as shop owners and restaurateurs. Rest Haven, an old Clarksdale diner, offers a taste of both worlds with a menu featuring Southern classics alongside Middle Eastern mainstays, most notably kibbeh. Sometimes called Lebanon's national dish, made of ground beef, cracked wheat, onion, and spices. Kibbeh may be formed into patties and served raw, stuffed, with pine nuts and baked, stuffed into grape leaves, or shaped into mini torpedoes and deep fried like croquettes. At the Rest Haven, you can order it Lebanese style with hummus or tabbouleh, or local style with black eyed peas and turnip greens.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Now we have a place that's close that we can go and try kibbeh.
Yeah, and I just, like I said, I'm loving Mississippi food here. They incorporate tamales, and then the kibbeh. They know what they're doing, man. Kool-Aid pickles, though, that's the next one here. So what? Joel hates this with so much passion.
In the world.
Yeah. Sometimes they're called a coolickle. So a Kool-Aid pickle, a coolickle.
No.
They're in mayonnaise jars throughout the Mississippi Delta and gas stations. Walmart now sells their version, of course they do, the Tropical. That's what they call it. Pickle spears infused with fruit punch, powdered drink mix. Those who love them can also make them at home. That's what Joel would say. That's
disgusting. Yuck. What's wrong with this world? It's no good.
It's no good. Hey, man. Coolickle.
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 Tropical.
The next one here. Mississippi-inspired gelato and sorbet. That's right. Sweet tea, pecan pie, banana pudding, and watermelon. Name an iconic Mississippi flavor on the sweet spectrum, and chances are Hugh Balthrop of Sweet Magnolia Gelato has captured its essence in a frozen treat. I would love a sweet tea gelato. That would be... Oh, and banana pudding. Banana pudding gelato? Oh, man. Yeah. Amazing. She set up a medical practice, and then he studied gelato making and began crafting flavors. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then the next one here, it looks scary, something maybe out of a nightmare, but I bet it's delicious. Pompano. A delicate-tasting fish often found on menus near the Gulf, pompano is a specialty of Lusco's in the Delta town of Greenwood. The story goes that during Prohibition, Charles Papa Lusco, so Pompano, Papa Lusco, anyway, a Sicilian immigrant sold homebrewed hooch out of his grocery store to cotton Very barons. Nice. who came to drink and dine in the privacy of curtain booths. One patron brought back a whole pompano from a trip to New Orleans, which the cook broiled and served in a spicy vinegar-laced butter sauce. It's still served that way at Lusco's, in private curtained booths. Hooch is bring your own. Yeah.
Bring your own hooch.
Hey, Tommy, did you bring your moonshine so you can eat this pompano and eat the whole thing in your little covered booth so that your wife doesn't know you're cheating? And he's like, what? Don't say that out loud. He's like, shut up. Exactly. And then the next one here, tamale pie. Tamale pie, given this state's obsession with hot tamales, you might expect a casserole that captures those textures and flavors for a fraction of the labor, but would also take off. Most of the versions of the tamale pie that turn up in old community cookbooks feature layers of cornbread batter and chili. Some Mississippi cafes have their own takes. At Ajax Diner, a meat and three on Oxford Square, the hit, it has grits with cheese. Yeah. Tamale pie, another pie in Mississippi that I can enjoy. And then the last one here, the very last one. This is Joel's favorite. Smokes and ears. That's what this is called.
Smokes and ears? Why do those buns look wet?
Well, let's talk about it. Adventurous eaters often make pilgrimages to Big Apple Inn on Jackson's historic Farish Street to sample a pig ear sandwich. The first batch came about when a butcher gave pig parts he wasn't using to the cafe's first proprietor, Juan Big John Mora, a Mexican who began
going on in these stories. Yeah. I don't have anything. Here's this.
There's just people showing up with meats.
Yeah.
Like, what keeps happening?
Because of all the hunters.
Yeah, yeah. Although, see, it makes sense. Way to go, Mississippi.
It does make sense.
Yeah. But anyways, it is just kind of weird, yeah. But a Mexican who began selling tamales on Jackson street corners in the 1930s. Today, his great-grandson, Gino Lee, carries on his thrifty tradition, cooking the ears until tender, but still undeniably chewy. Oh, that's what everybody wants. And serving them on soft, square buns with slaw, mustard, and homemade hot sauce. Anthony Bourdain bit into one, as did Andrew Zimmern. Both raved about the house specialties, as well as the ground smoked sausage sandwiches, or smokes. And it's because it's butter-topped. They brush it with butter.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
I was hoping.
Yeah. Mississippi, man. That was the last one there. Amazing. What love the state of Mississippi. Yeah. Like, their food... Like, I know they're ranked 49th, 50th, and everything else. Man, they're in my top five food-wise so far. Definitely. Like, love the foods coming out of there. That is genius. It is so good. And Tennessee Williams, you stole my heart. Anyway.
Tennessee Williams fanboy gushes on podcast live.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that'll be in the headline.
Yeah.
Weird bearded food dude loves Tennessee Williams.
You need to put that on a shirt. Weird bearded food dude.
Weird bearded food dude. Yeah, that's that. Our in-house artist, Marissa Eller, you need to make a weird dude or weird bearded food dude
T-shirt. Weirded bearded food dude.
Yeah. Weirded bearded food dude. Yeah. That's what we need. New stickers, new everything. Speaking of which, go to our merch shop and get some new stickers, new shirts. Joel, you recently got some shirts.
Yeah. I'm excited. I hope they come in time for me to take them to Oregon.
Absolutely.
I'm going to wear them on the plane so everyone can see the awesome shirts.
See? Yeah. It's got Biscuit. It's got Benicio's Pizzeria with a fake mustache because he's special.
He's going to have a real one when I get there. I'm going to chop it in there for him.
Put him in there. Yeah. But no, go to our merch shop. It's through Threadless, but they have so many. You can get a yoga mat. You can get magnet stickers, buttons. You can get a shower curtain. You can get a shower curtain. You can get pillows. Culinary Convo, all this stuff, United Foods of America. I might even start putting the states on there. Huh? Yeah. Get your stuff. Anyways, I'm sorry. I've been promoting myself so much because I do such a good job. Next time, we're going to Virginia.
Virginia.
That's where we're going. Yeah. You have any experience with Virginia?
I've been there once as a child.
I think I drove through part of it at some point for baseball, I think.
But, my brother lives there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where does he live in Virginia?
The beach town, the big one with the Navy.
Oh, Virginia thing. Beach.
Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. I was like, Virginia Beach City? Virginia City Beach?
He lives at that sandy...
The beach one.
The beach one? I don't know. It's in the state.
Yeah. It's in that state. I know. But it's not my job to remember where he lives. It's my job to remember that he lives.
That's all. Yeah, that's a good.
He's alive. He's doing good.
Anytime somebody has, he's alive.
Kidding that I responded that with so many. Anybody asking about any of my friends, I'm like, they're alive.
They're alive.
I think they're doing great.
Yeah.
If they weren't, they would surely reach out. I think.
They would surely send a message or I'd hear about it.
Yeah. Something. Exactly.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
People are like, I've seen a Facebook post. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's alive.
Yeah. He's
there's breathes. Some fires going on, so it's to be determined.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For right now,
he's doing great. Last I heard at 9 p.m. yesterday, still doing okay. Still doing all right.
It's like, that'll be for the rest of the week. That'll be exactly what I tell people. I'm like, at night he says he's alive, so cool.
Yeah. By the time this episode airs, I'm hoping most of the things are taken care of, but we've got fires out here in Oregon.
Yeah.
And we have so many. And all I can say is that the people who fight these fires,
God bless them.
Oh my gosh, yes. Like, the hills and the mountains that these are in are hard to reach. There are trees everywhere. There's downed lines. There's, oh man, it's crazy. And you never realize, like, I had to get a go bag ready. Never had to do that before. 'Cause tornadoes, you kind of hunker down, right?
Yeah.
Earthquakes, you hunker down. Right, but like a fire, you gotta go.
You can't hunker down a fire, you'll be crisped.
Yeah, and so like I'm sitting there getting stuff, and so you never realize how much stuff you actually need. And then all of a sudden, I look down and one of my cats is rubbing against me, and I'm like, oh, I gotta get them a go bag. Like, oh, geez. And so it's like you're just going through, and like the people, honestly, the scary thing, like, and I mean this genuinely, the people who have like livestock, like goats, cows, horses, like they got to get them out of there. And oh, I cannot imagine that type of panic of just trying to get, and it's from a fire. Like, you don't know how fast it'll spread based on the wind, based on how dry it's been. Scary times, guys. Scary time. Crazy times, everybody. Goodness. But that's why we go to Virginia and hang out with Joel's brother who's still breathing. So,
yep. Yep. As far as we know.
As far as we know. We're not going to guarantee anything. Yeah. But thank you, Joel, for hanging out with me in Mississippi.
No problem.
Yeah. We'll see everybody next time in Virginia. Goodbye.
Bye.
We'll see you in Virginia on a beach somewhere, possibly with Joel's brother. We don't know.
Outro on outro.
Specialties.
So many outros.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Ream, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.